Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days. Several years ago, I had the chance to go to the desert in both Egypt and Israel. And you know what I saw? Nothing. Miles of nothing. And even more than that, silence. It's no wonder that the desert occupies a special place in the Bible. It's where God first made his covenant with his people Israel after Egypt. And as we heard in today's gospel, it's where Jesus was tempted by the devil. In the deafening silence of the desert, we come face to face with ourselves and with God. And there a battle of wills ensues. Who will take first place, God or me? Thy will be done or my will be done? Most of us can't go off and spend weeks alone in a desert, but as a church, we go into a desert of sorts, which we call Lent. And during this time, Holy Mother Church invites us to use the next 40 days as a time for retreat, a time for prayer and self-reflection, and a time to listen more closely to God and to grow in that relationship with him. And that means putting God first. So how do we do that? As in all things, Jesus shows us the way. This morning, the devil attempts to tempt Jesus. And he does this by proposing three ways to put something ahead of God. First, seeking comfort. Our Lord was fasting for 40 days, and of course, he gets a little hungry. So the devil tempts Jesus to turn stones into bread, putting his own comfort ahead of the will of God the Father. Food is good. It fills our stomach, but it doesn't fill our hearts. Second, pride. The devil then takes Jesus to a mountaintop and shows him the whole world. He tells him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory if you bow down and worship me." Glory and power and riches fulfill our desire for success, but they don't fill our hearts. Third, vanity. The devil then suggests that Jesus throw himself off of the temple because the angels will save him. Imagine how impressive that would be. It might even win over some converts. But the ends never justify the means. And here, the means is gaining the admiration and esteem of others. It may bolster our egos, but it doesn't fill our heart. So what's Jesus' response to all of this? He tells the devil, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. And you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Before all else, first, there is God. It's not always easy to do that, but there are real-life examples in our history of those who have. One of my all-time favorite movies is the 1966 film, A Man for All Seasons. And the writing and the acting there are just superb. And it tells the story of St. Thomas More, the Lord Chancellor of England in the 16th century, which is comparable today to our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And despite pressure from King Henry VIII, the threat of the loss of his reputation, his livelihood, and his very life, he refused to reject the moral teachings of God. And after he was sentenced to death by beheading, St. Thomas More said, "I die the king's good servant, but God's first." And even faced with his own death, he had this peace in his heart because he put God first. He even joked with his executioners, asking them to help him up the scaffold, but that he would help himself down. God probably won't call us to such heroic lengths, but we should want to, and to strive to put God first, especially in the desert of this Lenten season. So what are some practical ways we can do that? I've mentioned them before in previous homilies, but I think it bears repeating because it is just this simple. Weekly Mass, monthly confession, daily prayer. Coming to Mass is the ultimate way to put God first in our lives because there we receive Christ in the Eucharist. And if it's not your practice already, attend Sunday Mass and Mass on the holy days of obligation. And if you already do that, then perhaps during this time attend Mass once or twice more during the week. Even if you can't receive Holy Communion, come to Mass. Our obligation is to attend Mass. And it's worth remembering that no one should approach to receive our Lord in Holy Communion unless they first made a regular confession. Which brings me to my second point. Regular confession means monthly confession. There's often a big misunderstanding when it comes to the sacrament. Well, if I haven't committed murder or stolen something, then I don't really need to go to confession. Well, John Paul II, a pope whom we all love and a canonized saint, went to confession every single week. Was it because he was a notorious sinner? No. He went because he recognized that there was always something that he could work on. There was always an area in his life where he needed God's strength and grace. And the more that we go to confession, the easier it gets, and the more we realize that, wow, there are areas in my life where I can learn to love God more and learn to love other people more. And if you need help in identifying those areas, the Fathers of Mercy have prepared an excellent examination of conscience, and I've placed them at all the tables by the doors. So please take one, read it through, and bring it with you this month as you make a good and thorough confession. And thirdly, daily prayer. God says, I care about you so much that I want to spend time with you. Wouldn't you want to spend time with me? God puts us in first place. Could we spend 15, 20, or even 30 minutes with him every day? It doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter where. What's important is that you stick to it daily. Weekly Mass, monthly confession, daily prayer. The only thing that can fill our hearts is God. So let us ask God to help us to put him first and choose him before anything else.